You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Show. Well, if you hear that song, you know shortly we're going to be interviewing Sarah Palin. Her book, number one, Amazon, number one, Barnes & Noble, number one, and this has got to kill them, The New York Times. Nonfiction, number one. What are they going to do with The New York Times? When this thing gets printed usually gets printed like on a Thursday, they must try to figure out a way to like do away with the ink. Could it be disappearing ink when the New York Times has to put her name at the top of that list? Joining us now, the former governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin, always going rogue. Governor Palin, great to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Laura. I appreciate being able to speak with you.
Let's talk first about what is happening now in our country. We had Senator Harry Reid unveil a 2,000-page health care reform monstrosity, saying that, well, we have to understand that this is what the people want us to do. What's your reaction?
They're so out of touch with what the people want. What the people want are some common sense, conservative, free market, and patient-oriented solutions plugged into some of the health care challenges that we're facing. They are so out of touch. You know, they're not paying attention to Tea Party movements or town hall movements or even normal, everyday average American who doesn't have time to participate in some of those venues and activities. They're not listening to what we're saying, and it's so extremely obvious.
Now, I heard that people lined up starting at 2 in the morning. Were you in Michigan last night, Governor Palin?
Yeah, I was in Grand Rapids, and we're in Fort Wayne, Indiana now.
Yeah, I got an email from one of our listeners in the Grand Rapids area. And she said that she got there, I guess, at about 3 in the morning to line up. But people had been lining up an hour before that to get to meet you and get a chance to talk to you. What did you sense among these people who, obviously, they love you, but there's something in your approach to issues that's really, it's moving people. What are you sensing from this crowd?
I think it really has nothing to do with me personally. It has to do with the message. It's the same message that you have, Laura, where we're saying, for instance, with the health care bill that Congress is trying to cram down our throats, we're saying, no, stop it. You need to trust the people. You need to listen to the people. And here's what we expect of our government. You better get back on our side, and you better not cram things like this down our throat. You better not try to take over 1/6 of our economy. And in this new version, too, of the health care bill, it's going to cost about $1 trillion, they say, which, of course, is an optimistic minimalist number that we're being fed there. But there's going to be these tax increases that they're not even talking about yet that will have to be implemented to pay for this. People whom I spoke with last night at this book signing, that's what they're concerned about, is this ignorance of Congress and the White House in terms of not listening to what it is that we expect from our government with health care, with energy independence, with national security issues.
And speaking of national security issues, Governor Palin, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will be brought to New York just blocks from the World Trade Center site. And that's the place where when he was, I guess, in an internet cafe in Pakistan, seeing these towers come down, cheering with Ramzi bin al-Shib and others who were masterminding this attack. What would you like to say to President Obama and Eric Holder after this decision to hold this trial in a civilian court rather than a military tribunal?
I would like to sort of say to them, I would like to ask them, who is pulling the strings here? Who in the world would advise a decision like this when it's absolutely obvious, again, to most Americans that this is a wrong decision? We're going to face this mockery being made of our Constitution and American rights that are going to be given to these terrorists who want to destroy our Constitution and our rights as Americans. I think it's a horrible decision, and I would just like to know, we'll never get the answer, but I'd like to know who's on their strings.
Governor Palin, the president returning from China and his Asia tour was in, you'll be happy to know this. I know you've been busy on the tour. He got an honorary black belt in Taekwondo in Seoul last night. All right, I know you'll be celebrating that later today. So at least he got something out of this trip. But what did he get out of the what did he get out of the China part of the trip?
Well, I don't know if any goals were met here. I really don't. I did hear in discussions with China how we will balance out the trade deficit that we have going with them. I didn't hear any talk about what America needs to do to shore up our own economy so that we're less and less reliant upon and beholden to some of these foreign countries like China. Didn't hear anything about how we are going to start walking the walk and not just talking the talk about growing debt and how that is dangerous for our country, for national security reasons even. So didn't hear a lot about that, and that's why I say I don't know if a lot of goals were met.
And Governor Palin, do you believe that President Obama wants America to remain the dominant military and economic power in the world?
We need to start that walk again, not just that talk about how we are dominant and how we are a.
But do you think? I'm sorry to interrupt. But do you think? But do you think Governor Palin, President Obama, wants America to remain the dominant superpower in the world?
I can't speak to what his motivations are. I can't figure it out. I know that Americans want us to remain the dominant superpower. We want to be strong militarily and economically so that we can be a more generous and prosperous and a safer nation to help the entire globe. I mean, there are so many reasons why we need to remain that shining city on a hill, like Reagan used to say, as that beacon for others seeking freedoms and democracy. And the steps that our country is taking right now is diminishing that, is dimming that light, and it scares the rest of us.
Well, my own view, and you know this, I know you all listen sometimes on KBYR in Anchorage, but it doesn't seem like anything he's doing abroad or at home will conclude in a stronger America economically or militarily. It seems, in fact, the opposite. So I conclude that he wants us to become just another member nation, and America's had her day, and that was last century, and now this is China's century. We just have to get used to it. Governor Palin, I was so upset that you didn't have an index in the back of your book, so all of the narcissists in Washington couldn't flip to their pages. But someone had told me that you had mentioned our conversation during the campaign. You referred to calls that you tried to sneak in to Rush and me and Sean Hannity and some others. And who was stopping you from, or trying to stop you from, calling us and having a conversation with millions of Americans? Who at the campaign was trying to stop you?
There were a few operatives who seemed to not want me to reach out, or Senator McCain to reach out to some of the common sense conservatives out there who were essentially having to do what our campaign wasn't doing, which you guys were doing, was calling the other candidate, Obama, out on his associations, on his past voting record, those things that were so important because they were indicative of how he would administer. You guys were calling him out. We were not. And that's why, I snuck in a couple of phone calls to say, hey, you guys, I'm still here. I'll try to help however I can. And that was going rogue, got in trouble for it. But that's okay, because look where we are today. Our voice is loud. It's clear. Laura, the work that you're doing for the American people is overwhelmingly, astoundingly wonderful and valuable. We need your voice.
Well, I appreciate it very much. But who told you couldn't call into the show? Come on. I mean, you're going rogue. If you're going to go rogue, you got to go rogue, Governor Palin. I mean, if you had listened to my advice early on, you wouldn't have, wouldn't have been dealing with these McCain operatives in the first place. But I'm just teasing you. Who was it?
It was those who were in charge of the media strategy. And
Nicole Wallace?
So much. Well, ask her what that strategy was all about.
Okay, I'll take that as a yes. It was Nicole Wallace who didn't want you to come on either my show or Sean's show or probably Rush's show. And that moment, when we were dealing with that, Governor Palin, and there's so many times that I wanted to message you or get in touch with you myself, because I wanted to say, you are this voice that people are desperate to hear in the United States. And they were keeping you under a rug. They were trying to smother you. They're trying to keep you, dress you a certain way, let me make you talk a certain way. And guess what? The whole time, people just wanted to hear you. And I couldn't get to you. It was so frustrating. It was like, a hostage situation. We couldn't get to you. We're trying to send in the commandos to release you. We couldn't get you.
Well, that was mutual frustration, believe me. But now, again, it not having anything to do with me personally, but our voice, our collective voice, common sense conservatives now saying, look at the real issues now. It's not just, don't ask me about these tabloidization of my family type issues. That's why I appreciate it in this interview, Laura. You get right to the point. You talk about the issues that matter. doesn't have anything to do with me. The real issues are today defeating health care, defeating the rest of the Obama administration's agenda that will do our country in with national security solutions that he believes should be implemented that really are weakening our country, as you said, too. That's the real stuff that we need to be talking about. And now, you know, the shackles are off and I'm able to talk about it. I'm able to join you to talk about it.
I love it. When we come back, I'm going to ask Governor Palin whether she's concerned that the media's obsession with Levi and this and that and the criticism of her and, the, as she said, the tabloidization of the story can detract from this important mission of defeating Obamacare, climate change, and amnesty for illegals. I'm going to ask her about that and a lot more. Sarah Palin, Going Rogue on The Laura Ingraham Show.
Well, I'm not a member of the permanent political establishment.
Sarah Palin's book, number one, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, New York Times, which really has to kill the New York Times. I carried it proudly to get a manicure yesterday, Governor Palin, and people were so annoyed, all the liberals in D.C., but the ladies who actually do the work in the salons, they're like, where can I get that? Can I borrow that after you're finished? I said, no, go out and buy it. She's an author. She needs your support. So you have your fans out there. I want to ask you about this issue of your celebrity and, you know, obviously the ups and downs of your family life and, you know, Levi, all this stuff. Are you worried that that detracts from this common sense conservatism that you're espousing, that you're trying to use to defeat these Obama initiatives?
Oh, I think that distraction is pathetic, and that's what the lamestream media is trying to do, of course. But let's hold on to what Jefferson used to remind us, that we can't underestimate the wisdom of the people, and the people of America know to get beyond that filter of that lamestream media, get right to the issues, and hear what it is that I and you and other common sense conservatives stand for.
And Governor Palin, let's say you are politically very active nationally in a couple of years, and maybe you're even in the Republican primary to become president of the United States for the nomination, excuse me. And how do you foresee your vision selling in states like California and New York? Do you see that ever happening?
Do I see them coming around and seeing the light and understanding that under this administration we're on the wrong road? Yeah, I see that shift coming. I really do. I think that true change that America needs is just up ahead. And I think that to get there, we're going to have more and more revelation of what the Obama administration really stands for. Obviously, they stand for growing government. They stand for more government intervention in our businesses, in our families, and that's not what Americans are going to stand for. This increased debt that is immoral because we're handing it over to our children to pay for us, those immoral things that are being undertaken today by the Obama administration. Yeah, New Yorkers and Californians are going to see the light, too, and I think there's going to be a huge shift in a few years.
So Sarah Palin could take New York or California?
Maybe not me, but I think a common sense conservative agenda could, absolutely. But the approach just has to be, in terms of me, is not thinking that it would have to be me giving that voice to common sense conservative alternative to the big spending, big government approach. But at the planks in the GOP platform, and I'm not obsessively partisan in terms of letting the partisanship get in the way of just doing what's right for my state and for my country, but the planks in the platform that are built upon free enterprise principles, built up our strong economy that used to make us the economic superpower, and strong national security and respect for equality and respect for life, those common sense, true American ideals, I believe, are going to be more and more embraced by New Yorkers, Californians, all of us, when we see very, very clearly the path that America is on today that I believe, like you do, Laura, is absolutely the wrong path.
Anyone you're looking at for 2012 who you would support and you would get behind early?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, I think that, and it's premature probably even to discuss any of this. One thing that is lighting up the lines on our show, Governor Palin, not just you and your book, but this mammogram recommendation that came out from the U.S. Preventative Task Force, an HHS government board, saying now that women under the age of 50, don't worry about getting those mammograms. You can start after 50. Well, you know my experience with breast cancer. I think my life was saved by early detection. What's your take?
I think that you have been brilliant on this because the mammogram recommendations, this whole issue, it's demonstrating precisely what you've pointed out, the problem about the panels, the death panels of government bureaucrats, and the, I think you call it the hospice shooting. But those panels of bureaucrats having more and more input into Americans' personal decisions, decisions really that belong between them and their doctors. And this is what rationed care is going to be about.
Well, and the next thing is different prostate screenings, when you have to begin those, you know, colonoscopies, when you need to begin those. I mean, this is just the beginning of what we're going to see when you have to expand the pool at a government government mandate. When you expand the pool, the cost has got to come somewhere. You got to get the care ration somewhere. Otherwise, the numbers don't add up.
Okay, and why we're desperate about this and in trying to have our voice heard on this is what they're trying to cram down our throats, being so extremely dangerous and short-sighted with this health care reform is what they're calling. The problem is that there are alternatives. There are solutions that have been proposed by good members of Congress that the Obama administration is absolutely ignoring. And that's a broken promise, too, by the way. Obama had promised that it would be a bipartisan effort to find these solutions. So there are alternatives to health care reform as it's been introduced to the American public by the liberals. That's what constituents need to remember, too. Reform measures have been already introduced. They've been ignored, but we need to call out our congressmen who are ignoring them and tell them to get back on track.
Power to the people and breaking protocol. I love your whole thing about breaking protocol in the book, by the way, going around the obstacles. You see an obstacle, you don't see it as an obstacle. You see it as something you just need to go around. And I love that attitude. And Governor Palin, I want to share with our listeners part of our discussion off air we had just now about auctioning off the jacket that you're wearing on the cover of Going Rogue. It's a cool, like, kind of fleece polar jacket with an American flag lapel pin on it. And you've agreed to us, we can auction it off for the Fisher houses across the United States. So you're game?
I'm absolutely game. In fact, I'll call my daughters and tell them, don't wear it. Don't get it dirty. We need to auction it off. I'm happy to.
Sarah Palin, congratulations on a life well-lived and many years ahead for you. Congratulations on the book, and you take care. Come back soon.
Hey, thanks so much. You're our hero. Thank you.
All right. Sarah Palin on The Laura Ingraham Show.
Thanks for listening to this podcast excerpt of The Laura Ingraham Show. If you'd like to receive podcasts of our complete shows, go to lauraingraham.com and sign up to become a member of Laura 365. Our Laura 365 members get commercial-free streams and podcasts of our shows every day we're on the air. And also, you can listen to the last 30 days of The Laura Ingraham Show. Be ahead of the curve. Join Laura 365.